Hey, everybody. Welcome back to my podcast. I'm Ms. Roxanne, and welcome back to my podcast. I did part one of The Spare by the Prince Harry's book. The file got corrupted, so I had to redo it. So I just want to give a brief overview of everything, and then I'll jump into part two, because that's the current part that I read. And let's just jump into it. So in the beginning, they talk about his mom a lot and how, like, he was, like, doted on and how he didn't really care that he was a spare. He didn't really know what that meant, but he eventually learned what that was. So for people that don't know, when your immediate successor, so basically you have the queen, then you have Harry's dad, and then Harry's older brother, William. And then him. So he's like fourth in line, which is third in line after his grandma passed away. But not really, because she got factoring kids. But anyway, so the point is, originally he was like the spare. So basically they made like a joke, oh, if Prince Harry needs a kidney, we'll just get it from, if Prince William needs a kidney, we'll take it from Harry. So it's just that type of stuff. Anyway, talking about his early life and basically what happened to his mom and how, like, the funeral and stuff like that, and how the media was insanely awful towards them. Just insanely awful towards them. It was actually really, really, really bad. Like, the paps here, the paparazzi here, is actually really bad, but I guess it's even worse in the UK. I think it's better now, but it wasn't back in the 90s. So they talk about the accident and how he felt like, you know, she was like lying and stuff like that. So I need to turn on a couple of lights. It's getting kind of dark out. and just stuff like that. And he's talking about all these cool places, but he doesn't really remember a lot because I think he has like PTSD from missing his mom and is kind of creating like a memory block. So he doesn't remember a whole lot of his childhood. So, and he even said that in the very beginning of the book. And the book starts off with him after his grandma's funeral of wanting to meet with his dad and brother. And as he was thinking, it just kind of kickstarted this whole book, basically. So, anyway. With part one, you get hear about schooling and how, like, he, not necessarily a bad boy or whatever, but, like, he definitely dived into extracurricular activities with certain stuff. I don't know what I can say on the podcast. I have such a TikTok/YouTube brain that I can't say that. but anyway, it was really interesting to hear how he went through like his primary school and leading up to secondary school. And then how he met, like, the Spice Girls and X, Y, and Z and met all these really cool, famous people and stuff like that. It was really, really interesting to figure out. So the first part was him, like, basically since birth to, like, 17 or something like that. And then in part two, it mostly talked about, like, 18 through, I want to say, 31 or 32. I think 31. Anyway, in this part of the book, like, he gets, like, really bad anxiety. I think a mix between his mother's death, because he wanted to see what actually happened, because he had this fantasy of her faking everything and him, I mean, and her coming to get the kids when they were older or something like that. And he had that part of his brain for like the longest time, like that was actually going to happen, which ended up not happening, obviously. So then he talks about a lot of trips to Africa and really bonding with the people over there and just having like his best life over there, and talks about his relationships and all that type of stuff, and like how he got really depressed after the army, and talked about like a bunch of the army stuff, and like how he got to fly an Apache. I don't know how to say that. Sorry if I said that wrong. And then just learning how to do stuff and talk about his time in the military. And then, doing this, the North Pole and the South Pole and just learning all the things. And it was really cool. And also how his brother is stupid jealous of him. And because, like, I guess he was excelling in the military. And I don't know if he was or wasn't. He doesn't really dive into that, but you get a sense of sibling rivalry going on. And it's just really interesting to see that. Then, let's see. Oh no, you just then you also told somebody about how the Paps or the paparazzi is really, 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 really bad. It's actually like horrifying how bad they are. Sorry, I'm laughing a little bit. I just got a stupid email, which is kind of funny, of some memes. So yeah. Anyway, then so they talk about the paparazzi and like how they kind of messed them up, and how originally when Princess Diana died, they were going to back off and do X, Y, and Z, but within like a couple years, they went to like F that, I'm going to make some money type attitude, and that's when the paparazzi kind of got really out of control, was in the 2000s. Like they got really bad, and I think they started to back off more in like around 2010, 2011. Just here in the US anyway. I don't know how it is in the UK and stuff like that, but it's like really bad. And then I don't know if I talked about his time in Africa. Anyway, he really enjoyed it out there and he really liked it. And but what struck me as weird was like he's talking about his love of Africa and stuff, but then he said like he can't really do that part as the royalty because Prince William wanted it more than him, but and he didn't really care. It's just being like a jealous person over it, which is I thought was weird, and also how he got more. I don't know what's the word. So basically, after he finished with the military, he wanted to be like full time with the royalty stuff. And how all the main people, this is after Kate and William married, that for Christmas, basically Harry was kind of shipped off towards where quote unquote the common people are, like the staff and stuff were. He didn't really care just because he got some privacy. So I still thought it was kind of messed up. Like everyone else gets like a fancy room. He just kind of gets like a room somewhere. And then how he was staying at this flat, which I guess is like an apartment or somewhere. And it was on below ground. It was like half below ground and stuff like that. And how it was just kind of weird. Like, why are you in the ground? Like, but everyone else is like above ground. And then when Kate and William moved, because you know they had a family happening and stuff like that, he got relegated to he got to take their old house, and he thought it'll be like a oh, there's Uncle Harry. Like, let's like, do you want to come over for dinner? And da da da. And like, thought it'll be like a little happy moment stuff. And but that was not the case. Like, basically, he freaking got shafted, and they didn't really talk to him that much. Like he literally had this picture of this in his head, and that just ended up not happening. Like he was like almost a football field away from their house, and he barely saw them, and they never invited him over for food and stuff. And then he's just going like, oh, they maybe just unpacking or just really busy, and da da, and made like excuses for him. When to me, it's like, oh. Justin, no, like I don't want you over type deal. And I was like, that is so messed up on so many levels. It really is. And then also what struck me as weird is when William said to Harry, like, you got the veterans, I got Africa. Okay, so I let you have the veterans. Like he's like, you let me have them? Like, what? That makes no sense. Like he was in the war for like the longest time. William was like maybe doing something just because he's like right behind his dad. I don't see him actually being in the military for like a long time. He probably just bounced in and out and just being like, okay, I'm done. We're done. It's fine. It's great. But William, not William, Harry wanted to be there a lot longer. He kept wanting to go back. He got along with people. You know, that's just my impression and stuff like that. And I just thought it was very interesting on everything. I just thought it was a very interesting part. And then you had the whole Vegas fiasco where, you know, he was just, he got a little too wild. Anyways, bare ass got posted on the internet. Because he plays strip. Oh my God, what's it called? I literally can't think of it. Pool table. Strip pool table. Anyway. And the only issue, my thing was, I guess he was trying to get rid of his PTSD by drinking and smoking and partaking in whatever else he was going to partake in. For him, it was mostly Mary Jane and alcohol, for the most part. He said he did try the powdered stuff, but he said that he didn't like it. I was like, okay. And then he talked about partying at Courtney Cox's house, which I thought was very interesting. And I think he also was talking about Will Arnett as Batman from the Lego movie. And he loved the TV show Friends a lot. So that was kind of cool because I also love that show. Anyway, it just made Prince Harry relatable. And then I started being part of part three when he met Meghan Markle. And it was just like, the way he talks about her is so freaking adorable, and just how, like, basically he felt everything just from a picture from her and stuff like that. And it was just really interesting to see how that's unfolding. Like, I only read, like, maybe, like, two or three pages of that, of part three. But anyway, I am going to talk about the rest of it. But I'm going to go through my files and see what files are corrupted, because I really don't want to restart them. Anyway, I'll talk about part three later, which will be for you in a little bit. Okay, I'm finally done with the book. So I'll be doing a brief overview of part three. So it was a very, very interesting read. How, like, it was just like the intense chemistry between him and between Harry and Meghan was very intense. And he definitely, I don't know, it's just like they just moved kind of fast, but like in the tone of the book, I like, it just felt like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. But at the same time, like, it kind of worked. Like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's like they were meant for each other. They're all kind of thinking the same things and doing X, Y, and Z, and then just how the press did them dirty. It was disgusting on how the press was to them and everything. And then the royal whoever's just cutting ties. It's like, okay, y'all are done. We're done. You're done. It's kind of crazy. And then I didn't know Meghan had a miscarriage. That was intense and crazy. I don't know if they even talked about that in Oprah interview, honestly. But then they were talking about, like, you know, this happened, that happened, and it was intense. Honestly, the whole book was intense, if I'm being quite honest. And how it's like they have like 6 weeks of like privacy, and then all of a sudden they just come out of nowhere. Like, how does that happen? It's like, I'm starting to wonder if, like, I don't know, like, the overactive part of my brain is like, what if, like, you know, if he's done with contact for a while and done X, Y, and Z, like, from his whole family and stuff like that, and got this place, and then after 6 weeks, like, well, maybe I'll talk to him for a little bit, and then they leak it to whoever, and they just come out of nowhere. Those people that are doing that are disgusting people, to be honest. But anyway, it's just really weird to see everything that unfolded. And also, talking about how, like, you know, the birth of their two kids and, you know, getting thrown out of the royal family, basically. Like, he's, like, of the palace commitments and stuff, and about grandpa, his grandpa dying, and the queen dying, and all the things. It was very emotional. Then the heated discussion between Harry and William, that was crazy. And it shows some growth, because I feel like in the early part of Harry's life, he would have pushed back and, like, started yelling back and forth and da-da-da, but he was a little bit more calmer after he got some therapy and got some help and started thinking clear. It's like, I don't need to really communicate with this person. He still got angry, obviously, but he didn't, like, go to, like, knock him in the face or push him in the face, because like, William was, like, taunting the shit out of him for it. And it's like, come on, punch me. Punch me. And he's like, I'm not doing that. Like, yeah, you knocked me to the ground, and my back is all effed up because I landed on the ground because you knocked me down to the ground. And, like, grounded by the collar and all this. Actually, he did that from his dad after the grandpa's funeral. Like, grounded by the collar, and him and his father started bickering, and he started leaving William just grabbed by the collar and da-da-da, and then it was crazy. Wow. That was a charged third part. Honestly, that was crazy. So for me, overall, I would give this book a solid B-, honestly, just because it's my first really nonfiction book I've read in a very long time, probably since college, for, you know, whatever something I was doing. So this is very new for me, because it's someone's point of view, and it's their truth and their backstory and da-da-da. I'm used to, like, science fiction stuff, but I had to constantly pause it because excuse me, I'm tired. It's like 7:30 at night. Anyway, not relevant. Sort of feel like my other podcast, but anyway, I had to sit down a few times just because with my anxiety, I get anxiety for other people. That has nothing to do with me. So I had to constantly put it down because of all the things that was going on in his head was starting to form in my head. I was like, this is not accurate, but okay. So I was like, I'm a sympathizer anxiety person. So if someone talks about anxiety, I get anxiety. Same thing with TV shows. I'm like, no. Anyway, overall, it was a good book. I have a few more books to read, like a Jeanette McCurdy's book. I also got Tom Felton's book. I also had Jessica Simpson's book. I don't know where the F that is right now. Gotta find that. I bought it over a year ago. Have I read it now? Well over a year ago, if I'm honest. But anyway, that's the first book of the year. It took me forever and a day to read it. So anyway, overall, the book was good. Learned a lot of interesting facts. And it's very interesting. Very, very, very interesting and eye-opening experience. But still, give it a B-. I wasn't holding on to the pages for dear life. Like, oh my god, this is so amazing, I gotta keep going. Except for the last, maybe, like, I don't know, like, 50, 60 pages, maybe, for me, but, like, it's just life, so I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, shouldn't include, no. But it was a good read, so I encourage people to read it, but it was just, I don't know, I'm so late even doing this podcast, but anyway, it's fine. And this probably won't be published for a while, just because I'm still in the 2020 ones with my own stuff, so hooray for that, so. That's it for this podcast. I hope y'all enjoyed, and I'll catch you next podcast. Bye-bye.